This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Monday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here, White House, Tennessee. He is our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, how was the weekend? I know you're going to be busy this week. Construction is going to be starting at the Lewis compound today. Is that correct, sir?
Well, it'd be next door. Our neighbor's doing a little summer soiree construction project. We'll get into that later on. Great to be with you. Awesome weekend. Another awesome week. Over 7.5 units of profit. Even though yesterday, one of the worst beats, not just the baseball season, Dave, but it might be a top 10 beat of all time. We'll jump into that. What was not a bad beat, we celebrated Michelle's middle sister, Renee, is her birthday over the weekend. Out at a local establishment, a lot of VSiN by the Book fans that were in attendance stopped over. We had some drinks. We discussed some of the experts' picks in the VSiN NFL betting guide. Some they agreed with, some they certainly did not. But they are appointment viewers every morning, so we appreciate them here in the Northeast Ohio area. And I will say, there was a lot made of this cross-sport parlay that I cooked up with Joe Friso yesterday. Some are calling it, Dave, one of the greatest cross-sport parlays in the history of betting. So that will be coming up here in a handful of segments time.
Well, certainly it would qualify if it hits. So if we can get that home and get it across the line, then maybe we can put that up there for that nomination. We do have a great show to get to today. Jack Collins is going to join us. Love talking with Jackie. I believe he's stateside over here in Miami, getting ready as the knockout stage has already begun here in the World Cup. Zachary Cohen's going to join us, put a bow on what we saw, certainly in the NBA draft, and look ahead to what we're going to have this summer. And the king of Connecticut, the one and only Will Hill, will be here as well. But we don't get this very often. We get a Monday finish on the PGA Tour. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
I think we all thought the drama would be at Shinnecock a week ago at the U.S. Open. Not really. Pretty easy cakewalk. Remember, Scotty Scheffler was in that final group last week with Wyndham Clark. Well, Scotty Scheffler again this week in the final group, but this time with the Norwegianer in Victor Hovland. And, well, we had a little rain, so they had to postpone a little bit of that final round. So that backed it up. Once we finished up regulation all tie, Jensen, that means we get a Monday finish, a thrilling finish here on a Sunday. They're going to go back and re-tee on a Monday. This will be about 9 a.m. Eastern. And yes, you can bet it right now if you have nothing in pocket already. Scotty is about $1.45 betting favorite here. The comeback on Victor Hovland is plus $1.20. So again, sudden death could just be one hole that you're waking up for early, or it could be several. We've seen, I believe, an eight-hole playoff happen here at the Travelers before, Jensen. Boy, great crowds there in Connecticut. And again, if you were there on Sunday, you do have a re-entry on a Monday, Jensen. Could be very interesting this morning here. World number one against a guy a couple of years ago that felt like he was ascending to be world number one.
Yeah, BYOB there at the Travelers here today. No amenities, no hospitality. You're on your own here, very Happy Gilmore style. But again, what a thrilling finish yesterday, even dodging the suspension there of the round with the rain and then trying to get this thing in. If only this were the Live Tour where you could roll in the lights, Dave, we could have had this thing done last night. But that is what it is here on the PGA Tour. Maybe Brian Rolapp will find it in the budget to be able to have some of those things on standby so we don't get into a Monday morning. We love it here on VSiN because that means we've got bettable, actionable content. By the way, what a round from Colin Morikawa yesterday. Thought he was going to be hanging around a little bit. He shoots a 61 to put some pressure on the boys there, but we will have a duel at sunrise. Excited to see where Scotty and Victor go. Some are calling it an international phenomenon here, Dave, with all of the Norwegians that have shown up around these United States in support of the football team. But the rowing will commence right after 9 o'clock Eastern, as you talked about.
Yeah, it's been it really was for, you know, the last elevated event that we're going to see in the PGA Tour. They're going out in style. And again, they are known there at the Travelers as having some of the best fans out there. And they certainly showed up in droves despite the weather, and the Norwegianers are out there in full force as well. World Cup action. We're into the knockout stage. Canada gets the first one. They defeat South Africa to move on to the round of 16. Of course, Team USA will play Bosnia-Herzegovina. That is going to be on Wednesday, Jensen. But boy, it feels like, again, I don't know if this is every 4 years or not, but boy, oh boy, maybe we're us as the host country, and with the United States still alive and kicking, Jensen, a lot of fanfare around this version of the World Cup as we get into the knockout stage.
What an incredible start to the knockout stage. South Africa was kind of that favorite, and then the Canadians say not so fast. We were kind of staring down the barrel of a regulation time draw there at 0-0, but we get some late heroics in the final minutes of stoppage time. Canada moves on to the round of 16 for the first time in their country's World Cup history. So we've got a great trio of games today. Brazil, Japan should be really well contested deep in the heart of Texas. Germany and Paraguay, Germany a decided favorite, not a shock there, up in Foxborough. And then the Netherlands, Morocco, you're looking at a game that probably has a quarterfinal feel to it, Dave, but we get it right in the round of 32. Heck of a trio to get this Monday started, and this week of World Cup knockout action started as well.
We saw this with Charlotte. Like, what are they doing? You're moving on from Ball. You make that big trade there and move away from your point guard. And now you see that Miles Bridges has been moved as well to the Suns. So, again, you start to look at this. Charlotte's going to get back Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal in a first-round pick here in 2033, way down the road. Again, for one of those teams in Charlotte that I think a lot of our experts have their eye on for this upcoming season – Jensen, what do you make of some of these moves, and now with Bridges on the move?
Fascinating, right? You know, Bridges playing a huge role with this club last year, and now they've got kind of some shakeup going. You mentioned Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal coming over. That 2033 first-round selection, it'll be one that they pocket for a while. All of this on the heels, right, of sending LaMelo Ball, of course, the headline blockbuster to Minnesota. They signed Coby White to the three-year, $74 million extension. We had said it right after the LaMelo trade was, get ready. Because this does not feel like the final stanza of what they'll do this offseason, just a prelude of things to come. They have been highly active, anxious to see kind of where the other dominoes fall here and what still is looking like a wide open Eastern Conference.
I know you woke up this morning, were not happy when you saw the result of the Red Sox and the Yankees. It's 5-4, and you go, what's the big deal? What's Jensen all upset about? Well, because we had a no-hitter with Sonny Gray going into the eighth, that gets broken up with one out in the eighth. That's fine. They get a double play, bring it, you pull them out of the game. It's still 2-0 into the ninth, and here comes Aroldis Chapman. He's going to button this thing down. If you got a Red Sox and an under ticket, you're going to cash that. Oh, no. And then all of a sudden, the defense goes haywire. For the Red Sox in the ninth, allowing two runs to score. And then, of course, once you get to extras, you put the ghost men on, Jensen. Buckle up. You get two in the top of the 10th here from the Yankees. And wouldn't you know it, the Red Sox come back with three in the bottom half. That's the 5-4 victory, but that over. If you had the over and you're waking up today, you need to probably say a prayer or two today, because that is as good of a win as you'll get, and as bad of a beat if you're an underbetter that you saw last night.
99%. That was the win probability of the under hitting. It is not only the worst beat in Major League Baseball this year, it is one of the worst all time in the history of the sport, considering where we were with New York having absolutely no offense whatsoever through eight innings. And then Aroldis Chapman just unloads and doesn't have command whatsoever. The bigger headline, though, Dave, on the baseball actual front. First four-game sweep for the Red Sox of the Yankees since 2018. It also marks the first time they've won four in a row this year. So is this what gets the Boston Red Sox going? We talked about how bad the American League has been. My goodness gracious, sometimes you look at a series and against your arch rival, you know, to have that kind of result, let's put a pin in this spot on the calendar and see if we look back in a handful of weeks. And that's what ultimately gets Boston going. And the flip side, Dave, well, the Yankees leaking oil here now. Tampa Bay keeps on winning. Yeah, very interesting shakeup now in the American League East as far as where the standings are concerned.
Yeah, sometimes I might just take one of those rivalries to get you going. And the Red Sox, with that comeback, as I mentioned to our esteemed producer, Joe Friso, sometimes you got to win a game twice. They won it twice. They had it won, and they lost it, and then they won it again. And sometimes now your first four-game winning streak against your arch rivals. Let's see what the Red Sox can do from here on out. It is a good morning overseas at Wimbledon as they begin the first round here. We're going to have Jannik Sinner, Arina Sabalenka are going to be on the court later on today. If you're looking for Serena Williams, you're going to see her tomorrow in her stunning comeback. Yes, we'll get into that a little bit later on in the program as well and see how far, if she can even get out of the first round. But yes, the queen is back. So Jensen, Sinner, we saw the heat at the French on the red clay, but this feels like he's back in his place where he wants to be. In Sabalenka, a little bit indifferent so far this year. What do you make of the favorites here to get this thing done?
I'm excited to catch up with Zachary Cohen later today. He'll have a full breakdown. If you have not seen what he's put out so far, highly encourage you to go to VSiN.com. Some great write-ups, some futures as well. Gil Alexander, team no sleep here for the next couple of weeks, as it is 5 hours ahead of time over there. So we hope that Gil's able to make it through the week and has some great winners as well. I would tell you, not a lot of buzz around Serena Williams. No one really kind of giving her a chance here. I think that's correct. I say that tongue-in-cheek. I'm sorry. But again, as we talk some Wimbledon, one of the great cross-sport parlays that has ever been constructed. We will preview that upcoming here in a couple of segments time.
All right. That's a heck of a tease, Jensen. I cannot wait to see what you've cooked up. Did you say you cooked it up with Joe Friso, or is this just Jensen Lewis independent?
One of our great tennis handicappers on the network doesn't usually write articles, but when he speaks, you listen. And so, of course, Joe and I put our heads together. I think we've got something that people will very much enjoy seeing here later on.
All right. I cannot wait to see what you've cooked up with, you and Joe have cooked up with here in this cross sport parlay. But when we come back, let's talk some more World Cup knockout stage. It's already begun. That's next right here at VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
There is no shortage of betting opportunities this summer from daily Major League Baseball, World Cup soccer, and Wimbledon, and the countdown to football continues. That's why it is a perfect time to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. You're going to get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, which includes our all-new 2026-2027 NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, divisional races, and the upcoming season. Plus, you're going to get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and coverage of every major sport all year long. So remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you will get. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here. It is the Monday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. We're into the knockout stage here of the World Cup. So we saw Canada getting that victory yesterday. Joe Friso, our esteemed producer, did say he had a confession to make. And I'm like, whoa, what's the confession? And the confession was, as that game was scoreless for the majority of it, that Joe, as an American, secretly really enjoying even a nil-nil match. Obviously ends up 1-0 Canada. But Jensen, it does feel like if we're looking for more eyeballs on the World Cup, I don't know that we're turning a corner here in the United States, but when you're getting guys like Joe on a Sunday watching non-Americans play soccer on the pitch, maybe this World Cup is starting to get a little bit more legs and attract more eyeballs.
No, it has been. I mean, everyone has been locked into it since the beginning stages here. And I think now when you get to the knockout stage, obviously it's win or go home for each team. So what a thrilling start yesterday. And I think we've got a trio of games on hand today that will also provide some theater. Now, I would tell you that we've got an opportunity here in this first match with Brazil and Japan. I think Brazil, one of the futures that I had added before the end of the group stage, just a real quick refresher for people. When you are into the knockout stage, it is different as far as the betting angles when you're looking at money lines and you're also looking at that comparatively to qualify / to advance. So reminder that if you play the money lines, that is going to be just in regulation. So if you have to get through stoppage time and play the extra two segments of 15 minutes apiece, that money line play is not going to win. And so remember that moving forward, beginning with your betting today. So for instance, this first match, it's Brazil that's -310 to qualify / to advance, meaning to move on. And Dave, that can happen in actual regulation time, or it may need the extra time, or dare we say, even getting into penalty kicks. So just a refresh for people, keep that in mind as you look at potentially playing or weighing some of these heavier favorites to win it in regulation there, or to play the heavier juice side of the opportunity to qualify. So again, Brazil -310 to qualify. Japan is +235. Germany and Paraguay today at 430. Germany is a $7 favorite to qualify. Paraguay +450. And the Netherlands, Morocco, as we said, it is going to feel like a quarterfinal match later on tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern. Netherlands is short, -$1.55 favorite to qualify. Morocco +$1.20. And again, just saw some of the prices change here. There's some money coming in on Japan as Brazil has now dipped from -310 to -295. So that just the important caveat, Dave, for people looking to bet it. If you're looking for draws, these can still be advantageous. Advantageous in some of the matchups here in the first round of 32. And I think that's also something to factor in where tightly contested games, not as much scoring, and that might be a different way to play it versus the qualify or advance price.
And good morning to everybody watching us on FanDuel Sports Network and certainly on YouTube TV. And if you're looking at our screen, I love the way this is phrased, State of the Union for the U.S. team here, the knockout stage for us. When will it happen? The odds associated with it. Round of 32 is +260. Round of 16 is +$1.80. Quarterfinals is +240. Semis, my goodness, +750. Get to the Final Four. Runner-up, 18-1 certainly would be hedgeable spots if you can get that far. And then to win it all is 30-1. And what's interesting about that number is, and I believe you got it around 35-1 when you hopped in, they had slipped down to 33. It's a slight variation here after losing their third match here. Again, it did not have any importance when it came to advancement. We already know that we had moved on from Group D. So 30-1 right now for the United States to actually win the World Cup. The other big numbers that have changed that have nothing to do with the United States is Spain. They have dropped to 7-1. That's just, which is kind of odd that you get to the knockout stage. And I guess the eye test says that they are not better than Argentina. The reigning defendings at 4-1. So the United States was 60-1 pre-tournament. So they have moved up, cut that in half. Argentina was 10-1. They've been moved up more than half as well to 4-1 here. And Spain has actually drifted, Jensen. What do you make of that money move? I can understand why now. Maybe we're starting to pass the eye test a little bit, and Spain, as one of the big favorites or co-favorites of France, not as good, and that's why they've drifted a little bit in the marketplace to 7-1.
Well, a lot of this more predicated on the matchups than the knockout bracket now. So again, when you think about where Spain, we'll take them for instance, again, their pathway now to getting through is going to be decently arduous here. So against Austria, by virtue of the last minute, heck, last couple of seconds of stoppage time, a miraculous header ends up getting them to a 3-3 draw against Algeria. So that ends up being a qualifying result. So Spain initially takes on Austria. You would imagine that Portugal find their way through against Croatia. And so Spain would meet Portugal in a round of 16 match. The United States all of a sudden ends up getting a much more difficult road, albeit this first match against Bosnia, should not be as difficult. Dave, that reflected in the market. U.S. Is almost a seven. Yeah, they are a $7 favorite to qualify or advance against Bosnia. So it's just kind of a matter of what will they look like with a little bit more added pressure. And Bosnia, pretty resistant group here. They kind of showed some teeth in their match play, or at least their group play. I think they will have probably some creativity in the counterattack to try and get the U.S. on their heels. But let's assume you move through. As it pertains to where the futures are, listen, Senegal is what they are. Belgium did not look good in their group play, but you can kind of throw all that out the window now. They still are one of the more respected sides internationally, and I would feel that you would watch Belgium be a heck of a lot better and find their way through. Right now, they are even a shorter price at minus $1.70 to qualify or advance over Senegal. So I think that's going to be a unique spot. And remember, we'll know, at least the United States will, who their opponent will be, because that match is at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. The United States playing at 8 o'clock. So we'll know with about an hour or two before the match there for the United States starts, who their potential round of 16 opponent will be.
All right. So again, last week when we looked at this and I'd mentioned that, boy, it feels like a pretty good draw, as good as it could get. You did push back a little bit with the Bosnia. And I look, there's always a danger, obviously, when you're a massive favorite, you're a $7 favorite. You want to respect your opponent and all those things. Jensen, are you concerned that the bright lights now, is that what you were getting at? Is that the reason why you see there's danger against Bosnia on Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, just take Canada and South Africa, for instance. Again, should South Africa have gotten through? I mean, to me, on paper, they were a better side. However, Canada equal to the task, and they find their way through in those final moments of stoppage time. So anything possible. And it's also, to I mean the analogy, and I saw someone say it on social media, the United States in college football terms feels like that group of five. Highest ranked team. It really is not a club that has been challenged by the quality of the upper echelon programs. Take Belgium, for instance, like that. If that's going to be the case, you know, that's a pretty tough round of 16 opponent. And then if you find your way through, then we would assume it's either Spain or Portugal. Okay, well, now you're really stepping up. That's going to be quite the test, but first things first. And Dave, also, it's that pressure. You're at home. You're expected to get through. And now what kind of added pressure is that for you as far as the United States group is concerned? Should they win it, Dave? They should. And I hope they win it convincingly, because you want that momentum. And, you know, even though they didn't play their A team, they rotated a lot of guys out with that final match in group play not meaning anything as far as what their knockout stage ranking was going to be. You want momentum on your side. You want to feel like the quality of your attack is equal to what you showed in the group stage. So excited to see it. We're in prime time. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on it, man. I know you and I will be watching it. Fortunately, it's not like the NFL. We're done in like 2 hours, Dave. So a little tidy bedtime for us there on Wednesday as we begin the month of July.
That's why I'm a little surprised that Spain has dipped to 7-1, because I thought that we're supposed to be an easy out, right? Like I thought, like, oh, Spain's going, oh, we get the United States. And yet they've dripped from 4-1 to 7-1. Maybe we might have a little bit more resistance there for the Spaniards than people initially believed. All right, when we come back, we're getting ready here in just about 90 minutes or so to get the resumption of what's going to happen there in Cromwell, Connecticut. It's going to be world number one Scotty Scheffler against Victor Hovland. If you're waking up today, yeah, a Monday finish, and you can bet it. We'll talk about some of those angles next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Circus football contests are open for business. You don't have to live in Vegas in order to play after your required in-person registration. Winner Circle Proxy is going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in this great country of ours. So Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. We are locked and loaded for millions. Cannot wait to get the updates as we go. I mean, it's crazy. We're going to be in July next week. And then before you know it, Hall of Fame game right around the corner. We'll continue our daily preview of one team every day a little bit later on. Talk about those LA Rams. A little sneak peek there. We are going to have some drama here in about 90 minutes. This is going to be a playoff here in a Monday finish. They had rains come in. A little surprise that the PGA Tour didn't move up those tee times to get it in on a Sunday. That's neither here nor there. So we're going to have a Monday finish because we needed extra golf after 18. Now, Scottie Scheffler, world number one. Victor Hovland, the Norwegianer, who is very popular in the PGA Tour. This is a guy about 3 years ago, felt like he was really ascending potentially to be at that time one of the hottest players in the world and could have made a case that he was one on the short list of best golfers in the world. Kind of been out there in the wilderness a little bit. Feels like he might be getting back into that form. And I'll say this, Jensen, when the rain delay happened yesterday, it looked like Scottie Scheffler is going to win this tournament relatively easily. After they came back, all Victor Hovland did was finish off a stretch of, he had made a birdie just before the horn. Then he came back out, nailed a 15-footer from the fringe for another birdie, and then another birdie, going birdie, birdie, birdie. And Scottie Scheffler really did not have it after the restart. He made three par putts of significant length just to force this Monday finish. So you had like the tenacity of world number one trying to win for the second time on tour against a guy that felt like, man, in that restart, something clicked. Right now, Scotty's about $1.45 betting favorite. The comeback on Victor Hovland is plus $1.20. Remember, kind of sudden death feel. They're going to go play 18 again. It could just be one hole, could be several holes. We have no idea how long this is going to go. But just kind of an oddity when you come out there in a Monday morning and potentially only playing one hole of golf to determine a winner.
Yeah, right, because everyone routine-wise is thinking, I you know, you pack it up after a Sunday, even if it took a little bit longer with the delay. You're packed up. You're on your way to, you know, the next spot, getting ready for the John Deere. No, you're going to have these two guys that it's going to affect their work week, if you will, in preparation moving forward. But this is fun, man. The last time you and I got one of these was JJ Spahn, Rory McIlroy.
Yes.
Last year. And it was Rory who just made quick work of JJ there. So yeah, this could be interesting to see from a strategy standpoint. And Dave, thought for you and for our listeners too, how much do you think the amount of rain, because it was a lot yesterday, how much do you think that will affect conditions? Because it's the morning, right? We don't have that time for it to kind of burn off or firm up. Will that affect, in your eyes, how these two end up going on approach here for this first playoff hole?
If you hit the rough, it could affect it, right? Because certainly that morning dew that you get can make things a little bit sticky. And here's what we should note before you make those bets, is on this 18th hole in particular, Victor Hovland has driven this hole perfectly all weekend, right? And Scotty has really struggled on 18, at least off the tee. Now, he put it in the left bunker twice early on. Remember, he was going for a 59 on Friday's round. He put in that bunker on Friday, and he ended up making a par out of there. So he settled for that 60. But yesterday, and I heard Brandel Chamblee say this on Golf Channel afterward, he hit one of the worst drives you'll ever see Scottie Scheffler hit, certainly in crunch time, with the tournament all tied up when they came back out. And he pushed it so far right, Jensen. He got a little bit fortunate to have as that sticky lie in the wetness of the rain yesterday that you're alluding to that we might have a little bit more of today. And he hit an incredible shot just to get it to the green and then blew his birdie putt 8 feet past, which is so un-Scotty-like, and then had to make the knee knocker coming back to just force the playoff. So he really was kind of all over the place. Now, I would think that if you kept that going yesterday, the advantage would have been to Victor Hovland because he caught fire and you could see it. And he just missed his birdie putt on 18 to win it yesterday in regulation. We'll find out how that sleep goes tonight. Now you get up to play that one hole. I wouldn't imagine Scotty's going to drive it as poorly as he did on 18 over the course of 3 of the 4 days. I would assume he'd be better prepared for this. And I can tell you this, not that anybody's ever trying to check out of winning any tournament, let alone an elevated event. But Scottie Scheffler easily could have missed one of those three putts coming in on the final four holes, and this thing would have been over already. There's something about that tenacity. $1.45 betting favorite this morning. I don't know that I'd be looking to play the dog side. Remember, you and I talked about it, as you mentioned, at the Players' Championship a year and a half ago with J.J. Spahn against Rory. You know, I think a lot of people wanted to hop on J.J. Spahn. and take the dog price there, kind of like we might want to do with Victor Hovland. And we saw what Rory did in a big-time marquee event like that. So last elevated event, Scotty hasn't been in the winner's circle in a while. You know, you saw the fist pump from Scotty. That emotion is there, Jensen. I would favor, and I think the odds reflected here, that Scotty should be the favorite here going to a one-hole, potentially sudden-death playoff. All right, wanted to get into a couple other things here because I know that we've got Wimbledon getting underway, and you have cooked up a cross-sport parlay. Now, the tease that you gave out is it could be potentially one of the greatest cross-sport parlays. Oh, I see it in preview. Show the people for the rest of the world watching out there. And the world is watching, Jensen. What is this cross-sport parlay that you've cooked up?
All right. So a lot of our conversation last week and even from the U.S. Open, Dave, was Rory McIlroy and where he has already kind of spent time across the pond and playing the Lynx golf, getting himself ready, both mindset and routine wise for the Open Championship upcoming here in a couple of weeks' time. It also got me thinking that I didn't want to bet him at plus 750. How do I get him to a double digit price that's really advantageous and something I could sink my teeth in? Well, Dave, we've figured it out. Yannick Sinner to win Wimbledon on the men's draw is minus $1.75. And I had to do a double take to look at it. I'm like, oh my God, that is great. Well, of course, no Carlos Alcaraz. That's why. Now, Novak Djokovic is probably the top contender there, but still a distant second for where Yannick Sinner is in the odds market. So initially I thought of taking Sinner and McIlroy parlayed together. So Sinner to win Wimbledon, Rory McIlroy to win the Open. That would have gotten that parlay at right around 12, 13 to one. I thought, you know, that's pretty good. You know what, Dave, let's get a little bit more aggressive here. And I had a $200 bonus bet available from my World Cup wagering on DraftKings. And I said, you know what? This is free money. Let's have some fun with it. And I put the Dodgers to win the World Series at 2-1 as that final leg. So it gets us right to a tick over 39-1 on a cross-sport future parlay. Now, a lot of this predicated on opportunities to monetize too, Dave, right? So Yannick Sinner, obviously the first that we need to get across here. Wimbledon is done in 2 weeks' time. That leads us right into the Open. Should Rory find his way through? Now we are sitting in a really advantageous spot to wait until October and find out where the Dodgers are on the National League side. Remember, I still have the 287-1 future on the Yankees now by virtue of the Knicks winning the NBA title. And imagine if those two were to meet in the Fall Classic. Now we're in great shape. It's a win-win either way. But I wanted to get your thoughts on it because it is part of our handicap. Watching Rory spent, what, 3-4 weeks in Augusta to try and have every nook and cranny covered for the Masters. It ended up working out. And even more importantly, him having that time, especially into the final round at Augusta, why that prep time ended up being the difference maker. I think the same held true for our mindset of, well, it feels like he's doing the same thing. And we do feel on the men's side for Wimbledon, and we'll ask Zachary Cohen about it, this feels like Sinner's to lose. And even if you get to a semifinal or a final match there, you could take a little bit away from it. But I think I would want to let that ride. And then we'll find out what happens once we get across the pond for the Open and see where Rory's at.
Oh, I love it. And again, we'll see if Zach concurs. I love the Sinner side here to get it started on your cross-sport parlay. The Rory stuff is interesting because there is a lot of consternation that the tour waived the minimum requirements for the number of tournaments for Rory. And people are like, why'd you waive it for Rory? What was the mitigating circumstances? Oh, he just wanted to prepare for the Open Championship because he's already over there at Birkdale while Scotty is getting ready to play a Monday finish. I mean, it is kind of weird, but that's neither here nor there. Rory can get away with it. Rules for the not for me, that's for sure. So when he's preparing like this, it shows you the mentality of Rory McIlroy these days, which is different, right? And that he really just cares about the majors. I have no quarrel with that whatsoever. Whether or not that's fair to the rest of the players in the PGA Tour, that is debatable, right? So we can get into that. But I like that. I like that Rory is over there at Birkdale. Now that he's won the Masters the last 2 years, I think he's looking for another one to add to the resume, which is getting better and better. And then the Dodgers, if you're sitting there with Rory and Sinner already in, and you've got a long shot already on the Yankees, Could you imagine if you get the two evil empires, the Yankees and the Dodgers in the World Series, Jensen? You just sit back and count your money, baby. That's all you got to do. I don't know which way you'd roll and which one's going to give you the bigger payout, but that'd be a really nice position to be in if you can get those first two legs home. So that's the three-leg parlay, the super parlay for Jensen paying almost 40-1. Let's talk more baseball. We're next right here at VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the Monday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. And we have, coming up later on in the program, a surprise soundbite that I have no idea, nor do you, what it is about, apparently. But apparently we've been called out. That's all I know so far.
Whoa.
And so we're going to play that clip. And again, I was trying to do my digging as an investigative journalist back in the day, Jensen, of what it exactly was. And Joe Friso, our esteemed producer, wouldn't give me a whole lot, but he said this. He said it's wrong and it needed to be addressed. So
okay.
Just going to leave that out there. It's another tease for the people that is coming up later on today on this edition of VSiN by the Books. No idea what that is. Red Sox. Whoa. Boy, did they get off the deck here with the four-game sweep of the Bronx Bombers over the weekend. Highlighted Sunday Night Baseball last night. It really was. And again, until I didn't know what your wagers were, Jensen, on it, I didn't know you had the under. It was an enjoyable baseball game to watch just aesthetically. And then to wake up and see that you had the under, I go, oh, man, that is as brutal a beat as you can have for sure. 5-4 is the win. And again, if you didn't stay up late last night and see it here on the East Coast, I understand. But it's 2-0. It's bottom of the ninth, Aroldis Chapman, and then Chapman has some of the worst defense played behind him to allow a couple runs to score here to get this thing to 2-2, and then you hold your breath, right? Once you get into fun times and the base paths and ghost runners and all these, you just never know what's going to happen. You get two in the top half, and the Red Sox walk it off at three in the bottom half. But the bigger picture and point here, Jensen, is the Red Sox, if they can use this as a rallying cry for their season, I wonder if we look back on this series and go, yep, that four-game sweep of the Bombers, that's the one that catapulted the rest of the Red Sox season.
Well, if nothing else, Dave, it really got them jump-started, especially in the wild card standings. So you make up a significant amount of ground. You're now 4.5 games out of a playoff spot, still 10 games under 500, wild to say out loud. But we finally have a team, Dave, that is not in a playoff spot currently in the American League that actually has a positive run differential. It gets the Red Sox to +5. Everyone else still in red figures there, and it's not the good red figures from the golf side. So a great win for them. I would also, again, parlaying the AL East theme here, the Tampa Bay Rays absolutely handle the Arizona Diamondbacks. And a guy that we're going to talk a little bit more about in Daily Diamond, Junior Caminero, 4 consecutive games with a home run and might be worth an investment in the futures market. We'll tell you what we believe on that front. But an absolute heater for them by virtue of the 4-game losing streak for the Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays, now winners of 5 in a row. Tampa's now overtaken New York for the top spot in the American League East. So that's a big one right there. American League Central too, Dave. Guardians end up getting lucky yesterday. They were down and out of it. And then all of a sudden the Mariner bullpen implodes. That gets the Guardians to a massive late inning comeback. They end up getting it across in a home series victory. They win it over the Mariners. The over cashes in that one, but they take the series winning 2 of 3. White Sox also take 2 of 3 over the Kansas City Royals, but they ended up falling in the series finale yesterday. And the Twins beat the Rockies in their series 2-1. This is now all of a sudden a pretty tightly contested top of the American League Central. White Sox Guardians tied at 43-39, 44-40 respectively. But Minnesota now creeps to within 4.5 games of the top spot. I think we're in for a unique little finish to the first half, if you will, especially in some of these American League divisional races.
The other thing I wanted to point out, too, in the NL East, what had been happening over the weekend is the Phillies take 2 out of 3 against the Metropolitans. That's not a surprise at all. But the Braves lose 2 out of 3 against the Giants out West. And then you look up on this Monday morning, And the Phillies are only three games back in this division all of a sudden. I mean, what a turn of events that is, from being double digits back to just three here. We haven't even turned the page into July. And even the fighting fish, the Marlins win two out of three against the Cardinals in the Lou over the weekend, and they're just six games back. Now, I had some people messaging me and saying, boy, the Braves, we talk about the Yankees taking water with the injuries. You can understand that. The Braves have got them too, and they're starting to take on a little bit of water as well. Jensen, you start to look at the AL East and the NL East, and certainly with the Rays overtaking the Yankees for today. But in the NL East, I don't think people saw it coming this quickly. But my goodness, is that season feels like it's going to be maybe a dogfight down the stretch. I don't know if it'll be a three-team race, but it looks like at least a two-team race between the Braves right now and the Philadelphia Phillies.
Phillies have done a great job, and again, a lot credited to getting healthy in the rotation. Zach Wheeler being back, excuse me, is a huge boost to that rotation, which has already been exceptionally good. I mean, Jesus Cesardo has been one of their best starters outside of Christopher Sanchez. Of course, we know that Sanchez right now tangling with Jacob Mizorowski as the top betting choice to win the National League Cy Young. A great part of the daily email from Bill AD for VSiN Pro subscribers this morning, Aaron Moore, one of our contributors to VSiN.com, illustrated a 30-1 future on Zach Wheeler to win the National League Cy Young. We'll take a little deeper dive, Dave, in Daily Diamond on whether that is good value or not. I can understand one piece of the argument that Aaron Moore has in there. For those that want to go read it, please do so, VSiN.com, to be able to see it. But I think it's more so when you look at some of the advanced numbers now for the Phillies. Dave, this has been an offense that has been trying to find their footing. They've now done that, and a lot of it predicated off the long ball. Kyle Schwarber, the first to 30 home runs this year. Bryce Harper has played like an MVP candidate. Brandon Marsh has been on absolute fire the last week, and now you're getting more contribution from the bottom of the lineup. That was really the black hole for them. They've been able to kind of turn the trick there. And as I said, pick your poison in the rotation. Sanchez, Wheeler, Luzardo, good luck scoring off those guys the way they're going right now.
Yeah, and again, I think a lot of people thought they were not going to get the band back together. They did, and it's looking pretty darn good. You had to make that change at manager and Donnie Baseball. If we can just attribute it to that, great. But they have certainly flipped the switch here since he became the manager there. The Dodgers take two out of three against their arch rivals from San Diego, and we saw the Cubs take two out of three, a big rivalry weekend, obviously, in Milwaukee. That's an interesting result as well to kind of get them back on good footing. Jensen, when I see the Dodgers, to be expected, and the D-backs getting swept at the hands of the Rays, not to say that division's over, it feels like that division's over, but if you're a wild card participant, you see what the Cubs did with the 2-3 against the Brewers, and then the D-backs lose three, and San Diego loses two out of three, it makes those holes a little bit deeper.
Cubs are hot right now, and this one meant a little bit more. Was listening to the Marquee Sports broadcast of that game yesterday, and they were describing American Family Field there as Wrigley North, and boy, was it ever, Dave. It felt a decided home field advantage away from home for the Cubbies, and a big extra inning win for them. They climbed to within 5.5 games, Dave, of the Brewers. They're 8-2 in their last 10, and I think more so for a mentality shift. That's a big one head-to-head. Of course, no love lost between the Cubs and the Brewers for what's happened the last couple of years. Of course, the Craig Council angle, all that notwithstanding. The Cubs now circumvent the Cardinals for second place in the National League Central, but more importantly now are starting to gain some ground on that hot Philadelphia Phillies team. If the playoffs were to start today, Dave, that wild card round would be the Phillies hosting the Cubs, and what theater that would be for that National League playoff series. You mentioned the West. It's over. The Dodgers are winning the National League West. They currently up 10 games on the San Diego Padres. But more importantly, you talked about the sweep here for the Diamondbacks. That's a team right now, losers of six of their last 10, but on the road has been their druthers, 17-25 away from Chase Field, where they are 24-17. So a stark contrast for the D-backs. They'll begin play today, just three games out of that playoff spot. But I think that's something to watch too now, is when you look at where St. Louis is and Arizona, it is, what, six teams separated by three games right now. So still very tightly compact And I think we still have a lot to play out here in this National League wild card race.
Yeah, another good weekend for me with those Fighting Fish there in St. Louis. Got them at plus 750 to make the postseason. That number has dropped precipitously here as they keep winning. So good to see the Marlins winning. The Pirates lose 2 of 3. Paul Skeens, Jensen, you know, it just doesn't look the same right now with Paul Skeens. And the Buccos are losing 2 of 3. Cincinnati, any concerns there for you?
He's lost 8 straight starts, and the one against the Reds is a little bit more alarming because it's a team he's absolutely owned in his young tenure there. So something to monitor as we move forward. Nationals continue to take care of the Orioles. For those that have been inundated with the Beltway series, the Nats have now, I believe, won 6 consecutive head-to-head series against Baltimore in that little rivalry. So again, the Nats, they're on the banned list, but we might get them off of it today, knowing they're taking on the Red Sox after such an emotional extra inning come from behind win yesterday.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun back in my old DC days. That's a good rivalry that you have there between the Nats and the O's in the region. And yeah, the Cubs always take over in Milwaukee. That is not a surprise at all. Let's talk about some Monday golf. We're getting ready for a big finish in Connecticut. That's next, VSiN by the Books.